My name is Angel Palermo. I'm here representing the East Harmony Emergency Preparedness Collaborative, and I just want to acknowledge my colleagues in the room who are a combination of community residents in East Harlem and community health advocate leaders who may participate in the Q&A later on the work that we're doing. Eric Canales, Ray Cornville, Molly Tria, and others who are part of the coalition scattered in the room. So what I aim to do today is try to give you a sense of the strategies we've used to translate some of the work we've been doing in East Harlem for the past 7 years as focused on emergency preparedness and how we've organized ourselves. I want to also share with you sort of newly developing, kind of fresh off the press, what we think are some critical factors and strategies used to keep us together as a collaborative, but more importantly, keeping engaged emergency management officials in our work and in our focusing in the neighborhood of East Harlem, and then share what we think are some promising practices and lessons learned from focusing on organizational preparedness of community-based organizations that are not seen as traditional partners in emergency preparedness, and more importantly, again, keeping it neighborhood-based. So forgive the small font, but what I want to walk you through briefly is how did this outcome become a focus in East Harlem? As we all know, Hurricane Katrina hit in 2005 and devastated many parts of the southern shore of the Gulf Coast communities. And one of the active coalitions over 35 years old in East Harlem called the East Harlem Community Health Committee was debriefing about the Hurricane Katrina. And I'll never forget, Eric Canales was here, said, you know, if we got hit like that in East Harlem, that would be an issue. We would probably be the next Ninth Ward. So you're probably wondering, where's East Harlem? If you look at the island of Manhattan, we're situated in the northeast corner of the island of Manhattan, right underneath the Bronx. And the topography in East Harlem is that, if everybody sort of heard of Fifth Avenue, right, or Fifth Avenue, it's actually sort of uphill, and if you go east, from Fifth Avenue all the way down to First Avenue, goes downhill, okay? And the river, the East River, constantly floods the FDR Drive. And actually, in the event of a hurricane coastal flood, all the water would go and completely drown the eastern seaboard, if you will, of Manhattan, therefore flooding neighborhoods like East Harlem. So Eric brought up that question up in a community meeting, and it triggered a discussion amongst the members to say, hey, are we even ready for something like that? It just happened to coincide with a release from the Office of Emergency Management, the mayor's office, of a report that said, we are ready. We've got 600 volunteers. We're ready to be deployed. We're ready to go. They put out maps on coastal hurricane floods, and they showed all the neighborhoods in New York City and delineated damage zones, and East Harlem was at a damage zone B out of three damage zones. So we were sort of moderately going to be impacted. I will say after Superstorm Sandy, all of that has changed. And so back in 2006, we started thinking about this, and we decided to co-commission our own community-based study with another sister coalition called the Human Services Consortium of East Harlem, both over 35 years old, who decided to say, hey, members of our coalitions, do you have plans? Do you even have an emergency preparedness protocol? Now, you have to understand, East Harlem is a chronically low-resource community, has always been a first settlement community for immigrants. Historically, now in the present day, is largely a Latino community, although the demographics are changing. But the last 2010 census, it is over 55% Latino, dominated by Puerto Rican ethnicity, closely followed by Mexican and South American. Now, with that said, we said, well, you know, we're a network of agencies that are grassroots and community-based. Are we ready? Because we're not all large hospitals and large public health organizations. And Eric and I co-led this study and realized pretty quickly that we were not ready and we were not coordinated at a neighborhood level. And so from 2007 all the way until present day, the coalitions have kept this issue literally on the agenda. So every meeting agenda had emergency preparedness on it. And that was one way of not losing sight. We also didn't have a community emergency response team, a CERT team in the neighborhood. And by the time our study had finished in 2007, when we shared our findings with the community, a CERT team was established. So at that point, the New York City Department of Health received some funding from the CDC to establish an Office of Emergency Preparedness and Response. And I'll refer to it as OPER. And they began to focus on resiliency. And how do communities bounce back from disasters, but also what should the response of the public health department be in the event of a disaster? At that time, and I'll admit and disclose that my doctorate work focused on this issue, and so we started a second community-based study that looked at organizational preparedness of these agencies, because what we knew really back since 2005 is that those agencies that were not part of the large public health medical organizations were often left out of formal emergency preparedness activities, despite having a desire to become involved. Yet we're really the first responders, right? And they happen to be those agencies and those organizations that are really seen as primary connector organizations, particularly very good at connecting hard-to-reach and vulnerable populations to the services that they need. But they were left out. And we knew in East Harlem we had a significant number of agencies like that. And so the second study that we started in 2012, right literally the day of Hurricane Irene, was examining this issue. What would it take to prepare those types of organizations for a disaster? And also, instead of looking at community resiliency, what if we looked at community readiness, right? We knew as a community we could bounce back. We've been a challenged community for a very, very long time on many different levels, economically, politically, socially, and so forth. But could we be ready to engage in a process of change as a community around emergency preparedness? Now, this led to a series of organizing or of motivating factors to organize. From all this discussion, community-focused, the research studies, this constant discussion and chewing on this issue, we realized we're just ill-prepared. We're not ready. And we know that CBOs are not organizationally prepared for a disaster. Furthermore, we were very clear that the citywide planning process was not penetrating to the neighborhood level. And so neighborhood-based planning and preparation was not happening. And so that motivated us organizing and taking all that we knew and creating this collaborative called the East Harlem Emergency Preparedness Collaborative. Now, mind you, we just started this. We formed ourselves late fall in 2012, but really started meeting in January this year. So we're very excited to share our work being, what month are we in? November? 11 months old. So who's part of the collaborative? I share this as a sort of, for you all to think about in your communities, who might be organizers, members of your of something similar, if you're interested in developing a similar model. So I share with you, back in 2006, two sister coalitions that came together. These two longstanding coalitions really serve as anchors and pillars of the collaborative because of their longstanding focus. A fairly new community-based participatory research partnership that's been around for the past 14 years also came on board. The East Harlem Emergency Community Emergency Response Team, the CERT team in East Harlem, came on board. And then, of course, OPR, which I mentioned before, and our own local district public health office, which focuses on East and Central Harlem. So all those organizations came on board because they all identified a shared it around emergency preparedness, which ended up becoming a critical piece. So fresh off the press is that last week, actually on October 25th, we held our first community-wide event as a collaborative. And this forum brought together 30 different representatives from a variety of community-based organizations that I shared about. There were not hospitals and large medical public health organizations, but it was a small business owner who owned a really popular community cafe. It was a variety of community coalition agencies who were representing the shelters in the neighborhood, multi-service, large multi-service agencies, and so forth, churches. And we were all sitting in a room. We had a conversation about three different areas. And what we learned, and I think further confirmed, was that while we were asking folks to think about, well, how would citywide planning better penetrate and integrate into East Harlem, that was based on the assumption that they knew something about it. And of course, what we learned and confirmed was that folks did not have any basic understanding and knowledge of what the citywide plan really is. And so they could not answer the question, well, we don't know how to penetrate that or integrate it and make recommendations for that because we don't know what it is. We also were able to confirm that you can give us money to do for response activities and prepare and recovery, but we need the money to actually integrate into planning and preparing. And so if there was any funding streams that were going to be leveraged, we needed to make sure that we could focus on giving folks, agencies, the time and the resources and the technical assistance to really plan, assess, like impact assessment, and develop protocols that were meaningful. Because what the goal was to try to integrate daily operations with an emergency preparedness mindset. And then this sort of really segues into the last piece is, how do we really get the community ready to engage and change around emergency preparedness? And flat out, it was like, you know what, it's just not a hot, sexy topic to talk about. Like, people don't really pay attention until something happens. I mean, think about yourself. Then you realize, oh, I should go fill up my car, or I should probably buy some candles and a flashlight. And so the goal was to think about how do we get people to think about being prepared as part of their daily living? Because living in New York City is actually, you know, you're exposed to a lot of daily hazards. I mean, just naturally. So to not have, it's to really sort of connect the dots. Like you're probably already carrying out preparedness activities, but really to put it in the forefront of people's minds. And so here are some critical factors and strategies we thought that are evolving for us, because the truth is we started meeting in January. We brought on the District Public Health Office very recently. But so far, this is what we think is working really well, because we're constantly asking ourselves, do we have it right? Or what did you hear that isn't right? So this penetration idea is really, really key. And we're really trying to figure out how to get what's in place to connect and be meaningful at the local level, okay? And we find that that's a really important strategy that piques the interest of emergency management officials, because they're sitting on top of, as you might imagine, boxes full of papers and resource tools and documents to say, hey, this is what you need to do a plan for this, for your dog, for your baby, for your house. You know, we want to get rid of this material. We want to distribute. So it triggers their interest. We also want to be able to demonstrate as a collaborative to the ability to engage non-traditional partners in emergency preparedness. We're talking about, again, those segment of CBOs, community-based organizations, that are not connected. They're just traditionally not engaged, and they're not funded to do emergency preparedness. The sad part of it is that anecdotally we know that many agencies have boilerplate templates as part of their funding proposal because the funder requires to have some emergency plan in place. But it's really not that meaningful. And then, of course, identifying new innovative ways to help emergency management officials recognize the value of our CBO partners. We know, based on the work that we've done, that our agencies are very well prepared and ready to serve as community culturally tailored risk communicators. They are ready and prepared to serve as facilitators or identifiers of points of distribution to maximize points of distribution for clothing, shelter, and food. They're ready to engage in that because they, you know what, they naturally already do that. So, some of the strategies we've used to translate our research findings into action at the community level. Clearly, we need to share the findings. And those of us who've done community-based work know that oftentimes our frustration as community partners, that academics do not translate their findings and share with the community. So we were very clear that we were going to do that. And then we asked three key questions all of the time. Based on what you heard, does anything sound wrong? Who else needs to know? And what is your advice and recommendations? And that has consistently layered and layered on refined thoughts, ideas, strategies, and recommendations. We've kept the issue on the agenda even today, and even though we are collaborative, we have developed our one-page information flyer. We constantly report out to the coalitions who are participants in the collaborative and for anyone else who needs to know. And then, of course, we identified the shared it, which is really a good negotiation strategy, by the way, is that it didn't work for us to be like, they don't get it. OEN doesn't get it. The city doesn't get it. That wasn't going to work. We needed to get to the shared it. And that's what allowed us to get those founding members together to say, we've got New York City Department of Health. We've got a local CERT team. We've got longstanding coalitions who all have a shared it around making sure emergency preparedness is a real thing at the neighborhood level. So some of the promising practices and lessons we've learned so far is that we really believe that we have the potential of developing a neighborhood model for emergency preparedness coordination. there is extreme amount of interest and enthusiasm in East Harlem, and it's just been building since 2006. We're very much interested in figuring out how to integrate emergency preparedness mindset into daily operations among primary connector community-based organizations. And that is really helping these agencies thinking about continuity of operations and assessment of impact. And we know, based on looking at, we reviewed emergency preparedness protocols of these agencies, and many of them didn't even think about impact assessment because they don't know how to do it. And there's no resources that are very clearly accessible for agencies who are not multi-million dollar, over 50-plus organization, 50-plus staff organizations that can take that on as part of their daily operations. So there's a clear need to figure out how to do that in a way that works. So that's who we are in a nutshell. This is a way to reach us if you have any questions, and thank you for your time.